CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Josh Rogan for the Washington Post Global Opinions takes us to a small piece of the Black Sea Basin, Moldova. However, that small piece of the Black Sea Basin is at extreme risk of the aggression of Russia. Josh, a very good evening to you. The map tells the story, but I translate it into my experience. This is Moldova from old-time Bessarabia, always part of the conversation about this part of the world. It abuts Romania, which is a member of NATO. That in itself makes this a profound story because you have had a conversation with the 37-year-old foreign minister of Moldova, Mihai Popsoi. What did you learn from him? Good evening to you, Josh.
Well, good evening, John. This small country of Moldova with only 3 million people is facing unprecedented anxiety and challenges because it sits wedged between Romania and an embattled Ukraine. And there's 1,500 Russian soldiers in a contested territory within its borders called Transnistria. And the Russians are pummeling Moldova with all sorts of crazy hybrid warfare interference tactics, including military coercion, economic coercion, cyber warfare, political interference, disinformation campaigns, and the amount of resources that the Kremlin can put into destabilizing Moldova is way more resources than the entire country could possibly muster to push back these efforts. And Putin's goal is very clear. He wants to depose by hook or crook, the Western leading government, which wants to join the EU, which wants to support Zelensky's government in Ukraine, and replace them with bought and paid for Russian stooges, apparatchiks, and other corrupt oligarchs. And, you know, Moldovans are fighting as hard as they can to make sure that doesn't happen, but they really need a lot of help. They need diplomatic help. They need technological help. They don't have a military really to speak of. And so they need everything. And, you know, it sort of speaks to the fact that, you know, here in Washington, we think of the Ukraine war as some sort of like incident isolated from the rest of the world. But the Moldovan foreign minister was here to tell me that's just not the case, that what happens in Ukraine doesn't stay in Ukraine, and that Ukraine's survival and even success is crucial to Moldova's survival and success. And, you know, that sort of pushes back against the argument you'll hear a lot these days from some both on the left and the right in the U.S. to say, well, Ukraine's going to lose and they can't beat the Russians, and U.S. support and European support is just prolonging the war. And you've heard this narrative that, well, we should just let Ukraine lose quicker. That would be a more humane thing to do. And here's their neighbor saying, like, no, because it's not. If that happens, our country will surely be invaded next.
Important to look at the map again, as Josh says. This is neighbor to Ukraine, but it's an important part of Ukraine. This is called Odessa Oblast. And in history, Odessa Oblast is part of Novorossiya. Novorossiya is not just Luhansk and Donetsk. It also extends across the frontier, the beachhead of the Black Sea. And early on in the conflict, you may recall, Russia made a stab to cross the Dnieper and go for Odessa. Odessa remains a target for Russian missiles. And there's no reason for Moldova to think that Odessa won't fall or be part of a Russian campaign, either now or in future. Josh, did the foreign minister have anything to say about a timeline, knowing he's at risk? Did they think if we don't get help by such and such a date, or we think the Russians are coming by such and such a date, something like that?
Yes, I think their best analysis right now is that Russian aggression and Russian military offensive efforts are concentrated in the north and the east in Ukraine, and not concentrated necessarily on a plan to invade and take over Odessa. That seems to be pretty logical if you just look at where the Russian forces are located. So the Odessa threat is maybe in the mid to longer term. In the short term, they're looking at October. October is when they have presidential elections in Moldova. October is also when Moldovans will vote for a constitutional referendum that would amend their own constitution to enshrine their European Union aspirations. And that's the thing that makes Putin the angriest. That's the thing that the Russians definitely don't want. That's the thing that they used to justify Ukraine invading Ukraine in 2014 in the first place, their turn towards the EU. So I think in the near term, their concern is that the Kremlin is just going to flood their information space with Russian propaganda and flood their politics with Russian cash until nobody knows what's what. And then some unknown Russian apparatchik will become the president of Moldova. And then they won't have to invade at all because they'll have just bought the country instead of having to knock it down. And so that's what they're concerned with most. And then the larger threat of sort of the Russian army eventually pushing so far west that they get to Moldova, that's also something that they can't ignore for the longer term.
The foreign minister has an agenda. He would like his president, Sandu, to the White House. What would that do for them?
It would just show the world, especially Vladimir Putin, that we give a crap here in Washington, that the Biden administration is willing to take, you know, 3 hours out of the president's day and stand side by side with the president of Moldova, who's like the most Western leaning pro-American president you could imagine for Moldova. And it would give her huge legitimacy and give their whole government a huge boon. And it would be a pretty simple thing to do. That's a simple thing. The harder thing to do is to direct U.S. and European investment into Moldova such that you could have enough infrastructure to be a meaningful part of the reconstruction of Ukraine whenever the fighting ends. And, you know, that would be transformative to this small country, which it really doesn't have a lot else going for it in terms of economic and natural resources. So, you know, that I think that's a two-pronged approach. You political support in the short term, diplomatic support, and then some economic and investment support, which could be mutually beneficial for both of us if, you know, the powers that be in Washington could, you know, distract themselves for a second into doing this.
I want to emphasize what I think you've said is the way the Russians can do this, not with gunfire, but with politics, to become the government and to take it over, what would appear to be democratic takeover. Is that what the foreign minister is thinking?
That's exactly right. And the way he describes it, which I agree with, is this. You know, Russia considers warfare to be a state of attack that uses military and non-military means. In other words, it's all one part of one strategy from Moscow's point of view. When the political interference and the corruption and the bribery and the economic coercion don't work, then they reserve the right to use that military tool. That's what happened in Ukraine. They controlled the government for a while. Then when that failed, they tried to pressure them economically. And when that failed, they started killing people. And that's the pattern. And so, of course, they're going to try the non-military hybrid warfare tools first, and we have to make sure those don't succeed. And then if all else fails, they might just try and start killing people in Moldova. And the best way to prevent that is by stopping them in Ukraine. So we can, you know, we tend to think of military warfare and non-military interference as two wholly separate and stovepipe things. But for our adversaries, that's not the case. For our adversaries, they're all parts of the same exact plan.
That's why the October election is the critical juncture, because they can persuade a number of legislatures to lean their way without a gunshot. Is that correct?
Yes. Persuade, bribe, cajole, pressure, whatever tools they can bring to bear. And again, this is a very small country, and all that people can think there is that, well, maybe the Russians care more about destroying our democracy than the West cares about helping us preserve it.
Right.
And you could forgive them for getting that impression, but it's our job in the West to prove that actually we're there to stay and actually we care about the things that we purport to believe in, because if we don't stand up for Moldovan democracy, nobody else will.
Josh Rogan, Washington Post. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.